This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Tonight, the Mavericks hit the road to face the Spurs, and we were talking about this in the pre-show. For a lot of us, the Spurs are the biggest rival in Mavericks history. I know people will go back to the 80s. You know, obviously you can throw out the Showtime Lakers. Of course, some people will always, always say the Miami Heat. But
Dell Ellis, Seattle Supersonics.
That's right. Go back with Moody Madness and whatnot. And there was a time when the Denver Nuggets felt like they were the primary rival. The Rockets to a certain extent.
The Bulls.
Don't think so.
Remember that time where Michael Jordan was destroying everybody and the Mavericks really had to go show him what's up?
I think
I remember
that's
when the Mavericks weren't
them.
Good and they beat like the Bulls in 98 when they were, you know, going for all the wins and everything. It's like the Mavericks just beat them, led by Cedric Ceballos. That's
hell
pretty awesome.
Yeah. But for a lot of people, the Spurs fans, that is, the Spurs have been the primary rival, and they play tonight. Does anybody on the court care about that rivalry, and do the fans still care about that rivalry now that both teams are, you know, they've come back down to earth over the last couple of years? Because one of the things that made that rivalry amazing is whether it was a second round or Western Conference Finals or whatever, you would see these teams match up in high leverage situations.
Yeah, and I think it's a great question in that Dirk and his teammates knew that this was a big deal. Dirk would talk about this. This is a big deal. When we go to San Antonio or San Antonio comes here, it's a big deal. And you know what? The fans would let you know it was a big deal, because in San Antonio, I don't know how many they seat. Let's just say 20,000. There would be about 3,000 or 4,000 Dallas Maverick fans there cheering really hard for the Dallas Mavericks. And I know going to Spurs Maverick games here in Dallas, out of the 20,000 people, there's usually 5,000, if not like 7,000 at times, Spurs fans cheering really hard for the San Antonio Spurs. So you would feel it through the crowd a little bit too. And Dirk knew about it, and obviously Duncan. And look, the Spurs have won way more championships, and they've been the better franchise. But it was something that the Mavericks were always chasing, and the Spurs did see the Mavericks as a threat. In the history of the Spurs and the Lakers going to the finals from, what, 1999 to 2010? They went every year. There was not a team from 1998 to 2010 until the Mavericks. Sorry, in 2006, the Mavericks, and in 2011, the Mavericks. That's it. No other team in the NBA Western Conference could get to the NBA Finals besides the Spurs and the Lakers. So the Spurs saw the Mavericks as a threat, but always or mostly the better team. And so it was always super fun and just it was a benchmark. Every time the Mavericks played the Spurs, it was, are we as good or better than them, or what do we need to do to get to their level? And the Spurs, I think, for a while, saw the Mavericks as, we should be better, but they are a major threat. And now that that is gone, there's no rivalry, as in the players never played in that matchup. There's not one Spur that played in those big-time playoff series, and there's no Maverick that can talk about it like Dirk could talk about it forever with the guys in 2016, 17, could say, hey, no, this is a big deal. And so I wonder if Luka, because he's going to be our leader hopefully for a very long time, I wonder if he knows the history and the how the Mavs fans feel and how the Spurs fans feel, because I'll bring it to the Texas Rangers. I know that Taylor Hearn's a huge Dallas Maverick fan, and his best friend or one of his best friends is Jose Trevino, who's a big-time San Antonio Spurs fan.
Yeah.
Right, and they – I mean, it's a big deal for them. I don't know if they're going to watch it tonight together, but they're going to be texting each other, and it's a big deal when Spurs and Mavs play. And I was just thinking to myself, I just don't know if the players, especially on our Mavs, have any idea – on how important this matchup is to us.
There is no way.
Yeah.
I mean, Patty Mills is probably the only one that would have any, like, recollection of some of what Duncan and Ginobili. Because, Mike, as much as you talk about what Dirk would say to his guys in his locker room, I'm fascinated to know what Tony Parker and Manu and Tim Duncan were saying to their other guys, because they love beating the Mavericks. Like, yeah. they really took pride, and we just put you guys down.
Like, we took down little brother again, right?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. You could see how focused they were on beating the Mavericks whenever they had that chance. And it wasn't just, you know, playoffs. It was regular season, too. They took that game seriously. And the only other two people that would are Rick and Pop. And so when you're asking Luka, there's no way he knows. But I do wonder if
and
like
Rick hasn't been through it all. You know, think about it. Pop went through it in the rivalry. There was Avery Don Nelson and, Don, yeah. and Avery and Rick. Like we've had and as great and as stable as we've been with coaches for a while here. It's just interesting that, you know, Rick would be like, oh, I don't know about 06. I don't know about 03, you know.
I want to talk about 06 for a second because I saw some people throwing some shade. And when it comes to championships, I definitely get that is, you know, we got a text. Was it really a rivalry from the 502? Spurs have always spanked the Mavs. I mean, not in the series that I remember that is the best playoff series I have ever seen the Mavericks involved in. And it wasn't a championship series. It was the second round in 2006. And I think a lot of people think that was the Western Conference Finals where they went on to play right. Phoenix. But it was Mavs beating the Spurs in Game 7. And they won that Game 7 on the road, did they not, to win second round
Mavs
series.
Got up to a huge lead, and then by the time the fourth quarter came, the Spurs started taking over the game in their home arena. And you're like, and the Mavs were up 3-1 in that series. If you remember, Terry decided to punch Finley, who was on the Spurs at the time, in the nuts.
So
then he got suspended for a game. And
we
so
lost those next two games by a combined 6 points.
Yeah. And so there you were in Game 7. And I think for Spurs fans, I get it. You have the bragging rights over the Maverick fans. You know, there's no doubt you have it over us. But if you look at the history of this series, 0-1, when you finally get back, you beat Utah. Who takes you out? The San Antonio Spurs in 2001. But Dirk comes on the scene. That's Dirk's breakout moment in the world of basketball. Is that series against San Antonio. He loses teeth. He's going for 40-something. And you're like, oh. So for a lot of the NBA and for the Spurs who are on top of the world there with the LA Lakers, it's like, hey, this might be something here. 0-3, hey, tough series. You guys win in six. You're still beating us. You're still dominating us. 0-6, though, we get over you. You guys get eliminated by us. And then you just have back and forth from there. But the Spurs do win more. But the Mavericks have beaten the Spurs multiple times in playoff series. That's factually what has happened, Spurs. You've done it more. You've won more championships. But the Mavericks have taken you out, I believe, 3 times in the playoffs.
And do you
remember
think
that? Remember that time that Vince Carter hit that three in the corner and the Mavs lost only 4-1 in that series?
Was that the Spurs or was that the Rockets?
It was the Spurs, and that was a 7-game series. We lost by
100. Oh, that's right.
We lost by 100 in Game 7.
Like 4-1, yeah.
Do you think that, because you just did a great job of kind of laying out the timeline, and Kevin, you talked about one of the high points for the Mavs in that. Do you think that that lends validity to this text from the 682? To them, it was a team. It wasn't a team versus team rivalry. It was a Duncan Dirk rivalry, kind of like a star rivalry. And because they're in the same division, they play each other the most.
Could it be both? Because I definitely get that you felt like every time you watched them, you felt like you were watching two of the best 5 players in the league go at it. But I also,
but then you also felt like you had one team had two of the best or three of the best top 20, you know, like because with Ginobili and Parker, you were like, crap, they have a better team.
And
as good as Duncan and Dirk are, you always felt like you didn't have enough to go with it.
But I remember like how deep the rivalry and sometimes sports hatred went when I was like, oh, I hate Steven Jackson. Bruce Bowen's bow ties are stupid. Like, and I'm sure the Spurs fans had their own version of that. So I think that's an interesting point. I would probably say it was both because I definitely hated the Spurs across the board as much as I loved watching, oh, look at these two big fellas. They're awesome at basketball. Let's just watch that play out.
Yeah, it's one of these things where, yes, you have to have superstars. And the other thing about rivalries is you have to be competing. You have to feel like your team is competing for a championship. And so I think that's very important in this rivalry. And I know Spurs, once again, I try to give you as much credit as I can. You guys were better. You guys won more championships. Overall, in the history from 2000 to 2015, you guys won more than the Mavericks won. You guys beat the Mavericks a few more times than we beat you guys. But when it comes to this, both teams were in championship mode. And so that's what also made the rivalry so important, I think, to both sides. Because no matter what we think is, let's say if you're a Spurs fan, no matter what you think of the Mavs as a trash organization that never could really compete with you, the San Antonio Spurs players, the San Antonio Spurs organization, and the San Antonio Spurs coaching staff saw the Mavericks as a legitimate threat and legitimately took you out of the playoffs three times in that period. So this is what made it so fun for everybody and so important to Dirk and so important to the Spurs, is that eventually, as the season progresses, there is a great chance that we meet in the playoffs and that one of us is going to get eliminated by the other. And so you saw it as a major threat. And that's what made it so fun. And it was really weird because the Mavericks, besides 11, never played the Lakers. And they were always trying to figure out, a lot of times, they were always trying to figure out, how do we build a team to beat Shaquille O'Neal? And yet they never had to play Shaquille O'Neal in the playoffs. They are always playing the Spurs to try to get, you know, further in the playoffs.
Well, that being said, Mike, I mean, you're talking about the rivalry today. The rivalry tonight, does it exist? The Spurs are right in front of you in the standings. And I don't know that you're, like, thinking that team's going to be, you know, 4-5 and we're going to have a matchup like that. But they might be in your way of getting into the playoffs. Like, they could be that could potentially be a problem.
Or you could play them in the mini tournament.
Yeah.
And they're better than I thought. I honestly thought the Spurs would not be one of the 10 best teams in the Western Conference. Pop is unbelievable. Here's the thing right now, is we know we have a superstar. We have a first-team All-NBA or a top-five player in the game, maybe the best player in the game, in Luka. The Spurs have a bunch of good young players, but nobody that you think, is he going to be an all-star? Murray is a very nice player. Johnson, Walker, two other very young, good players. But nobody that you look at and say, are they going to be a top 20 player in the NBA as their career progresses? And you're like, I don't think so, but maybe. Obviously, one can break through and become a very good player. So it's going to be interesting as the Spurs are trying to rebuild and doing a pretty good job of it without getting the first overall pick, because that's how it all came together for them twice, is – can they rebuild without having a Duncan or Robinson and get on that level again? Because right now they have three, what I would say, very good young players to build around, but nobody of, like, the caliber of a Luka to build around.